information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight, we care.
Appear to border
and it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
If you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 195th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 19th, 2010, and my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, TSA Rage, Opt-Out Day, and Thanksgiving Love Pats. Iris scans, fusion centers in Disaster City, flying syringes, biolabs in Haiti hell, buying silver, bank probes and panic buttons, plus Nazi safe havens, and a massive, massive news purge. So much to go over here. November 19th, 2010, episode 195 for MediaMonarchy.com. Clinic, from their latest record, Bubblegum, That track is called I'm Aware. And not only is that quite fitting for what we try and do here, but we also want to mention I got the chance to go see those masked men from Liverpool Wednesday night here in Portland, Oregon. And we heard from even the opening band called the Fresh and Onlys on the previous episode, 194B. However, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 195th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 19th, 2010, the year we make contact. And my name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, all that and so much more. And of course, we are, as always, broadcasting live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And of course, a huge thanks to our affiliates, simulcasting live on zeropointradio.com, and they kick it out. Hello, Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM, and the worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net, simulcasting live on the East Coast, revereradio.net, Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, Berkeley Liberation Radio.net, OneSkyRadio.com. And I've been a little bit remiss, and I apologize to our friends at stickam.com/groundzeroradio. Not to be confused with my man Clyde Lewis of groundzeromedia.org. But we also have 89.9 FM Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas. Thanks to my man Glenn at kboo.info. Thanks to my man Jeff at radio23.org. And you can make contact on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream, Blip, Cafe Press, News Tips, and Contact, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. We're also on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, radioforall.net, and archive.org. All of those, simply use Media Monarchy as your username or keyword. So, speaking of Ustream, you may recall we've had some difficulties lately, and I don't know what the hell they're doing. Needless to say, I'm using the desktop version of Ustream to broadcast and stream live video, and to also capture those videos, and we put them up later on YouTube. I'll be the first to admit they're not the most compelling thing to watch. It's basically a live shot of me here in the studio. But it's just another way to spread this information out and get it to folks who maybe won't listen to podcasts or who won't go on the website or any of those things. We also want to remind folks, of course, newworldnextweek.com, my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We are on a little bit of a hiatus, but we will return guns blazing in December while James Corbett takes a little much-needed break and also works on the back end of updating the website. So again, we're all one-man bands. We're all essentially spinning a whole hell of a lot of plates and trying to keep these things going. Meanwhile, live our normal lives and work our regular slave jobs and try and deal with bills and, good God, on the way to the dentist again yesterday, my glasses break and having mixer difficulties at home. So, of course, it seems like everything falls apart at once. But that's not why you're listening. You don't want to hear about my little petty bitching, because unfortunately, as we'll see in alarming detail, most of our little petty worries don't amount to a hill of crap in the grand scheme of what's really going on around the world, and you gotta thank your lucky stars every day that you're even in a position to be listening to a podcast. That already kind of puts you in an extra special spot than the majority of the world is languishing in. So I don't ever want to go, oh, my mixer's broken, when I'm in a warm apartment and not sleeping in the wet, cold Portland area. And we may get our first snow this weekend, as the weather has turned pretty much miserable here in Puddletown. However, what I was going to say about one-man bands is your support is necessary to help keep independent, corporate-free, independent media going. So I would implore you to hit that donate button at the top of MediaMonarchy.com. Your support helps keep Media Monarchy going and can help me microphone, mixer, Ustream, Skype, all of those things to take care of that. Again, I'm not making a bunch of money doing this, and it took 5 years before I could even feel like I could ask anybody for any donations. So again, your donations are greatly supported, and unfortunately, I don't have any donations to mention this past week. So we want to give, one, the huge thanks to the handful of folks who really do the lion's share of donation and support to MediaMonarchy.com. My man Steve in Oklahoma sent me home-harvested honey from Oklahoma. Awesome. If you'd like to send... I don't know if you necessarily have to send me honey. Money. Honey. P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. That address is at the top of MediaMonarchy.com as well. So those folks, those handful of folks who have been doing the lion's share of support, I'd like to put the call out and put the challenge out to folks who have maybe been listening for a while and have not thrown a couple of bucks. Again, your support helps keep this going and will help keep it growing as things quite literally start to cut out. As we do, we always like to look at Google News to see just what the hell's going on this morning, Friday, November 19th, 2010. Quite interesting. Top of Google News right now, and I made sure to save the link quickly because you never know when they're going to change it. But right now, at the top of Google News, Namibia suspicious package was a security test. Suspicious package found in a Namibian airport near bags bound for Munich was a device designed to test security and didn't contain explosives, officials said Friday. That's from the AP. The Guardian says Germany says Namibia terror alert was a security test, but meanwhile the French agency press says Namibia, U.S., and Germany not involved in security alert. Longtime listeners know we always pay pretty damn close attention to the drills and the terror exercises, because most of our research has shown that that's the nexus point. That's the conduit through which the rogue elements within the military-industrial complex and their private contractor friends, those are where the drills and the events and the flip live comes from. Sometimes the red team doesn't know they're on the red team. Sometimes the terrorists think they're working for jihad, but they're unknowingly patsies and dupes for the worldwide rogue terror mole network. I'm not saying that everybody in the FBI, everybody in the CIA, my aunt that works for the IRS, not in on it. It's compartmentalization. That's how these drills work, and whether you want to talk about 9/11 or 7/7, those are the biggies. But of course, there are drills surrounding all the other suspicious terror events. Whether you want to talk about the underpants bomber or the Gulf oil spill. So, interesting. Namibia suspicious package was a security test. Treasuries edges up, supported by helicopter Ben Bernanke. And U.S. sending tanks to southern Afghan fight. Now, that's the interesting thing, before we really get into it, that the way the debate is framed and the way this two-party system, and of course it takes two wings to fly this phony bird, while we're under the guise that there's a dichotomy, that there are two sides, and that's how they lead us along by the nose within these dialectics. A lot of this comes, and we've discussed this, when... Oh, and his last name escapes me. The ex-CIA guy who died in the last year, who was the founder of Crossfire on CNN, the show that literally put the fake left-right talking head yap-yap-yap garbage on our television screens and set the model for everything we've seen in the 30 years since then. Tom something. Check it out. Look it up for me. Again, I can't have it all on the top of my head and all at my fingertips. But he also wrote the book that turned into the movie Cheaper by the Dozen, that turned into the TV show Eight is Enough. But essentially, the CIA helped shove the two-party fake left-right paradigm down our throats. It's interesting to see now that the well-meaning progressive lefts, and those perhaps even not so well-meaning, They're not arguing about ending the wars anymore. They're arguing about letting gays serve in the military. Now, I've told you, we've broken down that a million times, so I always just say, just check out Bill Hicks on gays in the military, and you'll get the perfect breakdown on that. But you now have the talking heads on MSNBC, whether it's Maddow or Olbermann or any other fake-controlled left gatekeeper opposition owned by General Electric. They're not arguing about ending the wars. They're arguing about including more people in these wars of aggression based on lies. So, I've digressed around quite a bit, but what we want to get to, our top story, and I posted this last Saturday, just a day after last week's episode 194, and things heat up, and I believe I've told you again, as we put the show up on Fridays, it's nice to somehow take a breather, but of course, the news doesn't stop, and as we find more and more, bad news seems to come out on Friday to kind of limit the damage, as opposed to having it come out Monday morning on the front of the old gray lady or the CIA's favorite newspaper, the Washington Post. Outrage at TSA grows as opt-out day planned for November 24th. Yes, that's this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, my friends. And the news just kept growing and doubling and exponentially exploding as everybody, fake political paradigms be damned, essentially all coming together on this one point. And we have news reports from all around the world. But let's take the easy breakdown from threat level. Air travelers, mark your calendar. An activist opposed to the new invasive body scanners in use at airports around the country just designated Wednesday, November 24th, as National Opt-Out Day. He's encouraging airline passengers to decline the TSA's technological strip search en masse on that day as a protest against the scanners, as well as the new enhanced pat-downs inflicted on refuseniks. The goal of National Opt-Out Day is to send a message to our lawmakers that we demand change, reads the call to action at optoutday.com, set up by Brian Sodegren. No naked body scanners, no government-approved groping. We have a right to privacy, and buying a plane ticket shouldn't mean that we're guilty until proven innocent. Some travel writers have expressed concern that for the protest, called for on the busiest air travel day of the year, could cause backups and delays for all travelers. Planned protest taps a growing unease over the full body scans. Privacy groups such as Epic are seeking a court order to halt the use of the naked body scanners, saying the scanners are illegal and violate passenger privacy. They also say the government has done little to ensure that images taken by the devices are not saved. The TSA has falsely asserted that the machines cannot store pictures, but security personnel at a courthouse in Florida were found to not only have saved images, but shared them among colleagues in order to humiliate one of their coworkers. Scientists have also long expressed concern that radiation from the devices could have, you know, long-term health effects on travelers, what with the disruption of your DNA and the massive radiation. I want to thank Ian and Cameron for turning me on to No Agenda. I'd never heard the No Agenda podcast with Adam and John, Crackpot and the Buzzkill. But they were discussing something called a dosimeter, which I was unfamiliar with. It's essentially something that'll help you gauge the amount of radiation you're getting when you get near the naked body scanner. So we have links in there again to Twitter just to read about opting out. And we've been using hashtags on Twitter, opt out day, won't fly, TSA rage. So there's more on that from optoutday.com. And I worry the only problem, and that's the genius of it, is also the hindrance in the Achilles heel of this opt-out day for this coming Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, is that, of course, that's the perfect day to do it. It could be a complete cluster F and lock everything down. The problem is, it's going to be hard to get essentially a bunch of drones to go along with it when they just need to get to grandma's house so they can have the damn Thanksgiving, and I never wanted to fly in the first place, and blah. That's going to be the problem, is getting people to actually, you know, resist. If You Tolerate This, Your Children Will Be Next. So we unfortunately have so many updates related to opt-out day and the love pats, as they've been referred to. So let's continue our opt-out day coverage with all the other TSA rage and opt-out updates. Scanners and pat-downs upset airline passengers. This just coming from the Associated Press, and again, this becoming a story that now crosses all boundaries, and whether or not folks pay attention, really pay attention to what's going in the world, or just have the news on in the background, they know about this story. Less than a week before the Thanksgiving travel crush, federal air security officials were struggling to reassure rising numbers of flyers and airline workers outraged by new anti-terror screening procedures that they consider invasive and harmful. Across the country, passengers simmered over being forced to choose scans by full-body image detectors or probing pat-downs. Top federal security officials said Monday that the procedures were safe and necessary sacrifices to ward off terror attacks. It's all about security, Big Sister Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Stupidity, said. It's all about everybody recognizing their role. And we'll first mention, of course, that in the latest unveiling of some of the naked body scanners, that, of course, Big Sis Napolitano wouldn't volunteer to go through the scanner herself. They, of course, sent a peon. They won't even do it themselves. And it just gets worse. They just push it. And fortunately, we have pilots and airline unions fighting against this. The problem being, and I was even able to discuss this quickly at the dentist office yesterday. We were talking about, oh, you're going home for the holidays, yada, yada, yeah, who would want to fly now? Oh, that's the perfect intro to talk about this garbage going on with the TSA. The problem being, with all the invasive measures, the taking off the shoes, the dumping the water, the touching your junk, the feeling up the chest, all of these things, the naked body scanners never find anything. They've never busted anyone trying to pull any kind of tear. The only things we see come from within, whether that's box knives coming from Tokyo into Portland, oh, we don't know how, or the underwear bomber getting on the plane because, you know, they were told by overheads to let him on the plane, overriding the terror watch list. Of course, there's a terror watch list, but what difference does it make when the feds can say, oh, you should let this guy through, you should let Mutalab through. We're watching him. He's part of an ongoing intelligence operation. Unaware when the fire broke out in his pants. Again, the story goes back to Kirk Haskell, lawyer out of Detroit, completely destroying the entire fake underwear bomber story that now we're coming up on almost a year. It's been nonstop, amped up threataganda ever since the underwear bomber and even Fort Hood before that, and everything seems to speed up. CNN reports that TSA rage is hitting all age demographics now. Gizmodo.com reporting on that Florida courthouse bust, I believe. 100 naked citizens, 100 leaked body scans. They are doing it somewhat reluctantly, but showing that those things are there. So they blocked out the faces, but showing you, here are the naked body scans, here are the images saved. Here is how your government lies to you consistently. Furious Ryanair passengers hold protest in a plane. That's from the French agency press. They were basically angry about being diverted to somewhere else, and they sat on the plane for 4 hours with no power. You gotta wonder sometimes if folks in Europe are a little bit quicker to protest than the cattle here in the North American Union. Naked scanners at U.S. airports may be dangerous, scientists say, again from the French agency press. Anymore, we don't have to go to the crazy conspiracy sites to get any of this news. It's being covered massively. We always have to note, in these kind of situations, the very distinct possibility that these things are used as just the pressure release. just the steam valve pressure release. Damn, the cattle are getting pretty uppity. We better make them feel like they're having a victory. And so we'll stop groping them. Danger Room reporting on junk security. Naked scanners won't keep us safe. We also had the TSA chief, John Pistole, defending the new pat-down procedures to Congress. DHS source claims the TSA is infuriated with coverage of the nationwide backlash, getting angry at how they're being talked about. TSA now putting hands down flyers' pants. That's the article title that, from the InfoWars gang, went super viral and became pretty much the most looked at news story on the web earlier this week. As more and more horror stories come around from men, women, young, old, black, white, about being violated from the TSA, by the TSA. Poorly trained people who otherwise, as we've known, would just be doing other crappy jobs. They just lucked out and got one of these gigs because, of course, terror is a growth industry. The nanny state is the growth industry. It's the only thing growing. It's the only thing we do. It's the only job source you're going to have. As everything falls apart, you can be a snitch for the man. And you can run your little tiny boss hog little authority trip. And that's how it's going to roll. Unless we opt out. Surprise, surprise, George Soros also profiting off controversial new TSA scanners. More on that from Washington Examiner. And we say also because former Homeland Stupidity chief and dual Israeli citizen Michael Chertoff stands to make money from the fear, from the threataganda, adding more naked body scanners. Problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem to get the reaction, and of course the real action's in the reaction, so they can offer the solution they wanted to in the first place. Patriot Act was written, they needed terror to shove it down your throat. An I-9-11 is waiting in the wings so they can shove an I-Patriot Act down our throat and end freedom on the web, which is why it's so damn important that we do this like we are now and do it with such a gusto. Because the window is closing one way or the other. It's not going to be like this. Just the same way as when we were all grabbing stuff off Napster. It was like, oh my God. Same thing. You should be grabbing open source intelligence and information and saving it because the window is closing. One little Democrat in the fake left-right paradigm dismisses these groin searches as love pats. That's kind of reminds me of folks like Rush Limbaugh saying the abuse at Abu Ghraib was just kind of like, you know, fraternity hazing. Sanford Airport to opt out of TSA screening. That is in Florida. That is coming from WDBO.com. And that's one of the keys that we've discovered as, again, both sides of our fake political paradigms, even our Congress critters, have discovered that there was actually a little bit of a clause in there that says, you know, airports don't actually have to have the TSA. They can hire private security. Has that been the scheme all along? To get us angry at the TSA so we can have Blackwater and Wackenhut? That's the reminder of getting outside the box. They've got the next box to catch you in. Maybe they were ready to move you along to the next box. District attorney sending deputies to San Francisco airport to investigate felony groping. Lawmakers move to eject nude body scanners from New York airports. That's from Threat Level, previous from InfoWars. And we're going to wrap up all our TSA rage and opt-out day coverage with someone we haven't heard from in quite some time, and that would be the Honorable Dr. Ron Paul, congressman out of Texas. You may recall he ran for president in 2008, but nobody really took him seriously, so of course he wasn't taken seriously. Strangely enough, he could have a massive showing if he would decide to go on 2012, but we're not going to get into the fake emotional con games of elections because we just got over those. Ron Paul unleashes on the TSA saying enough is enough.
I rise this evening to announce that I introduced some legislation today dealing with the calamity that we have found at our airports with TSA. Something has to be done. Everybody's fed up. The people are fed up. The pilots are fed up. I'm fed up. You know, I've come to this floor many times over the past many years and complained about the terrible foreign policy we've had, the terrible monetary policy we've had, the excessive spending and the debt, and also the tax policy. But what we're doing and what we're accepting and putting up with at this airport is so symbolic of us just not standing up and saying, enough is enough. I know the American people are starting to wake up, but our government, those in charge, Congress as well as the executive branch, are doing nothing. Yes, they're talking about maybe backing off and allowing the pilots to go through. But can you think how silly the whole thing is? The pilot has a gun in the cockpit, and he's managing this aircraft, which is a missile, and we make him go through this groping X-ray exercise, having people feel in their underwear. It's absurd. And it's time we wake up. The bill I've introduced will take care of this. But we have to realize that the real problem is that the American people have been too submissive. We have been too submissive. It's been going on for a long time. And this was not, this was to be expected even from the beginning of the TSA. And it's deeply flawed. Private property should be protected by private individuals, not bureaucrats. But the bill that I've introduced will take care of it. It's very simple. It's one paragraph long. It removes the immunity from anybody in the federal government that does anything that you or I can't do. If you can't grope another person, and if you can't X-ray people and endanger them with possible X-ray, you can't take nude photographs of individuals, why do we allow the government to do it? We would go to jail if an individual, he'd be immediately arrested if an individual citizen went up and did these things. And yet we just sit there and calmly, you know, say, oh, they're making us safe. And besides, the argument from the executive branch is that when you buy a ticket, you have sacrificed your rights. And it's the duty of the government to make us safe. That isn't the case. You never have to sacrifice your rights. The duty of the government is to protect our rights, not to use them and do what they have been doing to us. The pilots, hopefully, you know, will be exempted from this. But another suggestion I have that might help us. Let's make sure that every member of Congress goes through this. Get the X-ray, take a look, and make them look at the pictures, and then go through one of those groping pat-downs. And then I think there'd be a difference. Have everybody in the executive branch, anybody, a cabinet member, make them go through it and look at it. Maybe they would pay more attention. But this, it doesn't work. This is not what makes us safer. This is preposterous to think that the TSA has made us safer. You know, when you think about it, if you look at what's happened over the past 10 years, during this last decade, we lost 3,000 on a terrible, terrible day for America. But since that time, in this last decade, we have also lost 6,000 of our military personnel going over there and trying to rectify this problem. We have lost 400,000 people on our government-run highways. We have lost 150,000 individuals from homicides. So I think there's reason to be concerned, reason to deal with this problem. We're not dealing with it the right way. We're doing the wrong thing. And groping people at the airport doesn't solve our problem. What has solved our problems basically has been that they put a good lock on the door and they put a gun inside the cockpit. That's been the greatest boon to our safety. Safety should be the responsibility of the individual and the private property owner. But right now, we assume the government's always going to take care of us, and we are supposed to sacrifice our liberties. I say that is wrong. We are not safer. And we also know there are individuals who are making money off this. Michael Chertoff. I mean, here's a guy that was the head of the TSA selling the equipment. And the equipment's questionable. We don't even know if it works, and it may well be dangerous to our health. You know, the way I see this, if this doesn't change, I see what has happened to the American people is we have accepted the notion that we should be treated like cattle. Make us safe, make us secure, put us in the barbed wire, feed us, fatten us up, and then they'll eat us. And we're a bunch of cattle, and we have to wake up and say, we've had it. I think this whole idea of an opt-out day is just great. We ought to opt out and make the point, get somebody to watch it, take a camera. It's time for the American people to stand up, shrug off the shackles of our government at TSA at the airport.
Opt-out day coming this Wednesday is a fantastic idea. Is it just a scheme to lead into problem-reaction-solution? Will they kick out the TSA only to give us Blackwater? We shall see. I wouldn't mind going to the Portland airport on Wednesday to see maybe what happens, but unfortunately I've got to work my slave gig the day before Thanksgiving. Needless to say, we're going to keep our police state updates going and jump to the Empire State. NYPD begins biometric iris scans upon arrest. We have discussed in the past the fear, and rightfully so, of the embeddable microchip tracking and tracing us everywhere we go. But now, we don't have to have it implanted. We carry it in our pockets everywhere we go. And perhaps the chip won't be the way they'll go because they've got biometrics. NYPD now scanning irises upon arrest.
Fingerprints, mugshots, and now iris scan. The NYPD started photographing the irises of criminal suspects in an effort to prevent escapes. If the suspect moved through the court system, the suspects would be scanned when they are first arrested. Then they'll again be scanned before arraignment to make sure the irises match. The new system comes after two incidents earlier this year where prisoners facing serious charges were able to escape by posing as other people facing minor offenses. Well, they say 21 of the handheld devices for the iris scans will be used citywide. Central Booking in Manhattan started taking the photos yesterday. Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Queens will get the devices later. These scanners cost about $24,000 each.
That clip comes from NY1, but this text comes from the Columbia Broadcasting System. Along with fingerprints and mugshots, the New York City Police Department is now taking photographs of the irises of crime suspects. The NYPD says the images will be used to help avoid cases of mistaken identity. The process takes about 5 seconds because they've already tested it out in Afghanistan, just as they test out the sound wave cannons and all the other biometric bioterror tools they want to use. You've got to test them out on third world populations before they can be wheeled around and aimed right at us, the soon-to-be third world population. Every suspect will be scanned again using a handheld device shortly before they're arraigned to make sure the irises match. Police say the software, handheld device, and cameras cost about $24,000 each, and 21 systems will be used around the city. Central Booking in Manhattan already started taking photos this past Monday, as noted in the clip. Brooklyn, Bronx, Staten Island, Queens, and the outer boroughs coming very soon in later weeks. Police say the photos cause no damage to the eye. And we can get more on this from the Daily Mail, the Wall Street Journal, the aforementioned NY1.com, and the New York Daily News. NYPD begins biometric iris scans upon arrest. The related story to this from Business Week by way of Bloomberg is that New York is at the halfway point for their anti-terror camera network. Not sure if they're actually calling it the Ring of Steel. That may be the name for it, or that may be the name of the UK CCTV Orwell nightmare. But they're at the halfway mark. So, halfway there to complete urban death maze in Manhattan, and I'm actually really thankful that some of my family just recently got the hell out of there. Our related police state updates, and just as we noted at the top of the show. Oh, and it's still at the top of Google News. I'm surprised they want to publicize and put the idea that they're running drills sometimes. And sometimes these terror events are drills. So just as we're talking about the breaking news right now this morning, Friday, November 19th, 2010, Namibia alert was security test. Disaster City. Rescue workers train in the Disneyland of terror. Emergency workers from around the world receive training in Disaster City, a Texas ghost town made up of derelict buildings, wreckage, and debris. They learn how to deal with major fires, earthquakes, floods, and, of course, terror attacks. This is coming from Der Spiegel, reporting on fake cities being used for terror drills in Texas. And, of course, international contingents of groups coming in, learning how to be anti-terror, just as we teach Mexican drug runners how to do their thing at Fort Bragg, and just as we teach folks like Noriega how to do their thing at the School of Americas in Fort Benning, we create the terror. And by we, I mean the hijacked United States by the oligarchs, the bloodlines, the multi-generational serial killers. Which reminds me, on my way here, I stopped by the convenience store quickly, and they've got a couple of stupid magazines in their rack, and one was turned upside down, which means somebody was looking at it quickly and shoved it back in the rack, but it was hip-hop magazine, Kanye addresses Illuminati rumors, and I believe we discussed that last week, as I take as a very positive thing that folks like Kanye West have to react publicly to the massive discussion and debate going on around the occult symbolism in media. Thanks, of course, in no small part to the fine work of VigilantCitizen.com. California school shooter drill upsets parents. This from Officer.com by way of 10News.com. At a Warner Springs, California, a safety drill at a Warner Springs school intended to prepare students and school administrators for a gunman on campus is causing some concern for parents. The active shooter drill, I believe, went ahead and took place this past week at Warner Springs schools. While students are in class, San Diego County Sheriff's Department wants to make the drill as realistic as possible, which is why parents are worried about it. Sometimes it's a drill. Sometimes it flips live. Fusion centers, gathering terrorism intel, and, of course, much, much, much more. Designed to share data and head off attacks, the 72 offices in the U.S. are, you know, starting to worry civil libertarians. About a year ago, a police officer in Maryland noticed a truck loaded with plastic pallets driving down a main road in the early morning. He normally wouldn't have given a second look, but the officer had seen a bulletin from the state's Coordination and Analysis Center advising that such thefts were costing bakeries and grocers hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sure enough, those pallets were stolen. Cracking down on pallet thieves wasn't quite the mission envisioned for fusion centers, 72 facilities across the country that were started after the false flag PSYOP events of 9/11 to improve info sharing and threat analysis among local law enforcement. Section 802 of the Patriot Act states, all crime is terror. Anything they want to go after can be called terror. So just as we said a few minutes ago, these things are tested out in third world nations that we don't see and we've never been to and we have no idea what it's like, so we don't really care if we kill all those brown people using one. I suppose if you're lucky, you'll just die instantly. But we also use the slow kill bioweapons like white phosphorus and depleted uranium. As I've said before, if you want to almost literally get ill and have your heart broken, you should go into Google Images and type depleted uranium. I don't even like to think of it. But a story we've reported before, it's back again. And this always seems, this story at least, this angle of the encroaching and enveloping and already here police state, all seems to come out of Texas, and again, we'll take it from KTVU.com. Some question the state storehouse of your child's DNA.
Chances are the state has a card stored with your DNA on it, taken right after birth. Now, some are saying this not only violates privacy rights, but also patient and parental rights. KTVU's Health and Science Editor John Feller has tonight's special report.
What's all the fuss about? A few drops of baby's blood dabbed on a card. It's mandatory newborn screening for 77 serious genetic diseases.
Left untreated can either lead to early death or an severe impairment of quality of life. This is very important because it allows us to make a diagnosis early.
The program is truly life-saving. But what might surprise you is that card with name and genetic material is legally state property and is saved. Parents told us they had no idea the state government keeps samples of their child's DNA and shares it without anyone's consent.
I wasn't notified of this, and I think that other parents, if they were notified of it, would be just as outraged.
I don't trust the government anyways, so I don't trust that they are honest and tell the truth.
This is a privacy right. It's a DNA property right. It's a patient right. It's a parent right. All of these rights are being violated when this is being taken without the written, informed consent of the parents.
After initial screening at private and state laboratories such as this one in Richmond, the cards are given a number and stored in this nondescript refrigerated warehouse. The director says they started saving cards because they could.
The people that started the program realized they would be valuable and they wanted to hold on to them.
The state of California keeps 15 million of these de-identified newborn screening cards. They keep them indefinitely, going back 30 years. Each card's number corresponds to an individual. With approval by a state committee or court order, samples are retrieved anonymously or by name and provided for research, for lawsuits, for investigations. So-called HIPAA privacy laws do not apply to government agencies, and DNA can survive decades.
So from birth, we don't own our DNA, and the most secret pieces of us and our personality have become government property.
Brace and other activists are concerned about discrimination in healthcare, employment, and personal freedom. But they add they have no evidence of any discrimination so far. California is supposed to notify parents that their child's blood spots may be retained.
They might have given me a piece of paper, but it was right after the birth. I mean, we were tired. There was so much going on. We didn't have time to read anything.
KTVU got a promise from state officials to make more prominent the notice that parents can't opt out of the storage process.
If you're really uncomfortable with having that spot stored, write to us. We'll destroy it. We'll even send it back to you if you prefer.
But Lori urges all parents to support the newborn disease screening program. Little lives are at stake. Health and Science Editor John Fowler, KTVU Channel 2 News.
Well, there it was again, the phrase that pays, opt out. We're going to close these police state updates, which are posted at the bottom of our story about NYPD and their biometric iris scans. It is a Minority Report indeed. And we'll close it out with a story that, again, you know, should put your mind at ease that really all our priorities are just spot on. New Jersey town outlaws sleeping in public.
That's it, says Oris Zahakevich. There should be zero tolerance, he says, on dozing off in public.
They shouldn't sleep in public.
Who shouldn't?
The sleepy people. I don't sleep outside.
Not on a bench,
no.
Reading a book,
no.
Or anything?
No.
And no one should be allowed to fall asleep in public.
That's what I think.
Because when you're sleeping in public, you
things
could be...
Things could happen.
Bad things.
Yeah, bad things.
But Police Chief Paul Morrison says Roselle Park passed its public sleeping ban to combat homeless people passed out on benches.
The police department are certainly not going to bother the average public.
Just the homeless. Steve Sandberg, 1010 Winds, on Chestnut Street in Roselle Park.
In most of these situations, it's basically like you've been shot by a shotgun and they want to give you a Band-Aid. Won't address any of the source causes of any of these problems. We just like to throw money and Band-Aids at things once they've blown up in our face. The more research you do, unfortunately, you're going to discover that these things seem to happen on purpose. We don't subscribe to the accidental theory of history here. The last note we'll make on this police state update posting, one anonymous comment on here says, "Wow, great story, no criticism, no intelligent inquiry. What a half-assed journalist, to say the least." I'm not sure if they're referring to the CBS story that we have posted, or if they're referring to me, and I'm a half-assed journalist because I didn't go into this story. Perhaps I am a half-assed journalist, but I'm also a one-man band running a media empire, and I don't have time to analyze and break down every single event. And I hope that the listeners, and I think that the majority of you folks are well intelligent enough and know what's going on here to go do more research for yourself. And just because I posted to the website doesn't necessarily mean I endorse it. Sometimes I just want you to see the bald-faced tyranny posted up in a Columbia Broadcasting System article. You get it? We'll continue our massive coverage this week, as there is no shortage of unbelievable things going on in the world. We'll move from our police state updates to all of our BioWars and EnviroHealth updates, which again, for folks, we try and break things down and put them into categories so that the stories fit together, so that you have a little bit of a thread to follow. And again, it's all laid out on MediaMonarchy.com. All the links are there for you. Everything I cite and source and mention and play and reference is all linked up. From NewScientist.com, genetically altered mosquitoes thwart dengue spreaders. However, we break it down with a headline that's a little more to the point. Eugenicists unleash flying syringes to save humans from disease. An outdoor trial of mosquitoes genetically engineered to sabotage Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, which spread dengue fever, that's D-E-N-G-U-E, has been declared a success by scientists in the field. The trial is the first time genetically modified mosquitoes have been released into the wild. The strategy provides, or rather promises, to provide a new weapon against dengue, a disease that infects 50 million people annually and kills 25,000. In the past year, dengue has reappeared in the U.S. for the first time in 65 years and in southern Europe. By the end of a six-month trial on a 16-hectare plot, populations of the native insects which spread the dengue virus had plummeted. It's a proof of principle that it works, says Angela Harris of the Mosquito Control and Research Unit on the Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the trial took place. The MCRU, that's the Mosquito Control and Research Unit, conducted the trial with Oxitec. OXITEC, the company in Oxford, England, that bred those genetically modified mosquitoes. Massive supplemental documentation to help break down this story for you, such as Bill Gates funding these flying syringes to combat dengue fever. ActivistPost.com notes that there's been much debate about the pending FDA approval of genetically modified salmon that grows to maturity twice as fast as natural salmon. However, are these GM mosquitoes getting the same type of coverage? We have more from GMWatch.org, from the horse's mouth or the mosquito's tongue, from Oxitec.com, more from NewScientist.com, the World Health Organization, Cayman.gov. Truthout.org breaks this down pretty damn well. Florida dengue fever outbreak leads back to CIA and Army experiments. This article goes back to July 21st of this year. With little fanfare, on July 13th, Florida officials released the findings of a CDC study conducted recently in the Key West area, revealing that about 1,000 people of the coastal town's population are infected with the dengue fever virus. And it goes into the Florida situation, as we always note that all the great things seem to come from Florida and Texas. It appears highly unlikely that any of the detective work performed by the CDC and Florida health officials will unearth evidence of dengue fever being imported into Florida, but that evidence certainly exists. Prior to the recent Key West findings, and still today, the CDC has consistently reported that there have been no outbreaks of dengue fever in Florida since 1934 and none in the continental U.S. since 1946. This report is incorrect. Unknown to most Americans is that dengue fever has been the intense focus of U.S. Army and CIA biological warfare researchers for over 50 years. Ed Regis notes in his excellent history of Fort Detrick, the biology of doom, that as early as 1942, leading biochemists at the installation placed dengue fever on a long list for serious consideration as a possible weapon. In the early 50s, Fort Detrick, in partnership with the Central Intelligence Agency, launched a multi-million-dollar research program under which dengue fever and several additional exotic diseases were studied for use in offensive biological warfare attacks. We can go to one CIA document from Project Artichoke, named so by the Dulles boys who liked artichokes. Not all viruses have to be lethal. The objective includes those that act as short-term and long-term incapacitants. If we return yet again to the aforementioned... Oh no, we mentioned the Patriot Act. We haven't mentioned the Project for a New American Century paper, where they also note that genetically engineered biological weapons could become a viable option. It's no surprise, and we've talked about this time and time again. The only way these diseases come about and resurge is that they are being created, they're being funded, they're being toyed with by these government labs, and that's where these outbreaks come from. So there's layer upon layer upon layer within this. Bill Gates and his connection to eugenicists, his father on the board of Planned Parenthood, started by Margaret Sanger. She got awards from the Nazis for helping teach them about eugenics. That's how they learned it. So then we jump to the CIA and biological experiments post-World War II, and of course, as we're going to get to at the end of this episode, helped along by our good friends, the Nazis, that we brought over and gave a safe haven to as part of Operation Paperclip and more. That's where these things come from. That's how these things break out. We've also noted Lab 257, and we'll note it again in just a few minutes. However, as if this story wasn't difficult enough, and if you're having any trouble wrapping your brain around it, let's catch a related story that I believe the hat tip, as many times, goes to Kevin at Cryptogon.com, one of the best alternative news sites. I wonder if because he's in New Zealand, he's got to jump on us here in the West. He's up early, posting early and often, breaking tons of news and bringing it to the world. Apparent cyanide suicide victim was USF health researcher. A University of South Florida researcher stumbled out of her hotel room Monday night and told two guests she had ingested cyanide. Chitra Chauhan, last name C-H-A-U-H-A-N, 33, wife and mother of a three-year-old, was pronounced dead at a hospital 2 hours later, victim of an apparent suicide, small amount of potassium cyanide found on a table in her room. The nature of Chauhan's work and the manner of her death turned what investigators characterize as a private act into a public spectacle. Why is this interesting? Oh, well, let's scroll way down a little bit and discover what she was working on and the lab she worked at in Florida, studying how mosquitoes transmit diseases. And Chauhan focused on the transmission of dengue fever. Coincidence? I don't think so. We see so many of these well-timed events, and as we said, we don't buy the accidental theory of history. All our research shows the conspiratorial version is the correct one. That's where the evidence points. However, there's too much at stake in this bankster-gangster game that no one's going to call it out. No one's going to overturn the game board. Sometimes you got to bump off made men, and sometimes you're going to battle for middle management positions, but they're not going to do anything to bring into question the entire fake game of it all. So we referenced Lab 257, and that refers to Plum Island, which for the last 50 years has been off the coast of New York and around Rhode Island. But let's jump to the present day from BusinessWeek.com. Report questions safety of planned biodefense lab. The federal government has underestimated the risks of building a lab for researching dangerous animal diseases in a densely populated area in the heart of cattle country. A new report released Monday contends. The National Research Council's report notes that the U.S. Department of Homeland Stupidity itself has estimated that there is a 70% chance a pathogen would be released from the lab within 50 years and that it could cause, you know, up to $50 billion in damages. Homeland Stupidity officials have concluded that the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility would be safe. The $450 million lab would be built on the north side of Kansas State University campus in Manhattan, Kansas. The Research Council calls the assessment not entirely adequate or valid. The council, which is affiliated with the National Academy of Sciences, specifically avoids saying whether the new lab should be built in Kansas, but its report also says that the site, in the heart of cattle country and near Kansas State's football stadium, adds to the risks. The council's 146-page report says Homeland Security's assessment of the risks, completed in June, had several major shortcomings. This new lab would replace an aging one on Plum Island, New York, and Congress ordered the Research Council's report in agreeing to provide $32 million last year for planning. Construction is supposed to start in 2012, with operations transferred from Plum Island as early as 2017. We have more coverage on this story from WTOP.com and GlobalSecurityNewsWire.org. New report questions the safety of planned biodefense lab. I believe even a recent episode of Jesse Ventura's show on True TV gets into the Plum Island lab, which, among other things, has helped bring us foot and mouth disease, Lyme disease. We also know these labs in the aforementioned Fort Detrick. That's where the anthrax came from. That's where they're working on dengue fever. That's where they're working on recreating the 1918 flu. Perhaps it'll come around in time for its 100th year birthday to unleash a new black plague. What on earth can we do about any of this? I have no idea. Just spreading more information about these labs? I don't know. Building a bunker and stocking up on guns? Probably not. So, the related updates. Riots in Haiti as cholera death toll rises. That's from VaccineNewsDaily.com. Deadly clashes as UN forces blamed for cholera outbreak in Haiti. That's from NewsJunkiePost.com. And from Yahoo, Swedish diplomat says cholera strain came from Nepal. Unfortunately, that's the case. It has proved that the cholera came from Nepal. Klaus Hammer, Sweden's ambassador to Haiti, told the Daily Svenska Dagbladet. Hammer, who visited Haiti 2 weeks ago, said the info came from a diplomatic source. It is 100% true. Tests were made, and the source was traced to Nepal. On November 1st, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control said the cholera strain linked to the outbreak in Haiti is most similar to cholera strains found in South Asia. However, it cautioned that more work was needed to determine the origin of the cholera strain in Haiti. Slow kill bioweapons. Talked about for decades. Used by eugenics elite. You know, sometimes it's hard to have armies just mowing down masses of people. Sometimes you need to help them along, so you want to make their food poison and genetically modified. You want to, you know, have their water be filled with mercury or radioactivity, as we just reported on the previous episode, 194B, on foodworldorder.com. Your money is fake. It's all essentially an illusion. And will opting out work at all? I don't know. On some level, yes. On some level, the outcry has already done an amazing job. Whether we're talking about the TSA or any of these other issues. Ultimately, what has to happen is a revolution from within. We need to incite a revelation. This is all basically a war on consciousness. Can we stop the war in Afghanistan? Can I stop biolabs from creating biometric, bio-eugenic, soft-kill weapons? No. But hopefully covering this kind of information and getting this kind of information out to as many folks as possible can hope us and help us to maybe not be surprised when these things happen. To not be unprepared. Forewarned is forearmed, as they say. We still have a massive news purge, Nazi news, and killing JP Morgan all to come. But we're going to take a quick musical break and hear again from Clinic, the band we heard at the top of the show, who I had the pleasure of seeing here in Portland just a few nights ago, the Masked Men from Liverpool, England. The title track from their 2002 record, this is Clinic with Walking with Thee.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now into hour number two of episode 195 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show Media Monarchy, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. That was more music from Clinic, the title track from their 2002 record, Walking with Thee. And we still have so much massive news to cover in this remaining under an hour. And we were just discussing things we have no control over. We can even note from Buddhism that, of course, you know, all discomfort and pain is caused by desire. But the desire to bring an end to the police state, the desire to opt out of this encroaching tyranny, are very real and are very righteous. As we noted, can I end the war in Afghanistan? Probably not. Can I stop biolabs from creating genetically engineered viruses to soft kill the useless eaters? Probably not. I can get more information out about these things so they can become more known, and we can use all these tools while we have them at our disposal to do this kind of information. I'm just one little tiny speck in my little world trying to affect change in as many ways as I can. And I've always, even before I kind of took it as a motto or knew it as a quote from Gandhi, to be the change you want to see in the world. Having said all that, I have not put my money where my mouth is or pulled the trigger or any other phrase you'd like to use, but we're going to this weekend, and perhaps you will too, once you learn about killing J.P. Morgan with silver bullets. We'll take the text from washingtonsblog.com. Leading economists and financial experts say that our economy cannot recover until the too big to fails are broken up. Link, link, link. The giant banks have been sucking money out of the real economy and making us all poorer, but the government is refusing to rein in the mega banks, or even let alone break them up. One of the too big to fails, J.P. Morgan, manipulates the silver market. See this, 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 and this. Source, 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 documentation, source. According to the National Inflation Association, with a link to TradingMarkets.com, J.P. Morgan is, quote, short 30,000 silver contracts representing 150 million ounces of silver. This is one of the largest concentrated short positions in the history of all commodities, representing 31% of all open COMEX silver contracts, end quote. This could leave J.P. Morgan exposed if people go out and buy physical silver in large numbers. Mike Krieger, connected with the ZeroHedge.com guys, and Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com, that last name is K-E-I-S-E-R, rogue economist, longtime equating the financial New World Order as the controlled demolition as it was, comparing it to the controlled demolition of building what? Max Keiser has an idea for attacking the weak underbelly of the seemingly invincible too-big-to-fail banks and market manipulators all at the same time. Specifically, if everyone buys 1 ounce of silver, it will force J.P. Morgan, a giant manipulator of the silver market, to cover its short positions and possibly drive it out of business.
I got an idea.
Okay.
I just thought of this during the break. You know, I was talking to this guy, Michael Krieger, who's someone you should have on your show, by the way. He's very hooked in with the guys over at Zero Hedge. He's a brilliant writer. He's got some fantastic stuff to share. Michael Krieger is his name. You should have him on your show. But I was talking to him about the fact that if everyone in America bought one silver coin, or even 100 million people in America bought one silver coin, that's 100 million ounces, and take that off the market, it would crash J.P. Morgan, and we would have a scalp. We would have a major victory. So my idea is, what about one of your, you know, force this up to Google search ideas with the search term, crash J.P. Morgan, buy silver. See if we can, in fact, crash J.P. Morgan by getting everybody to buy 1 ounce of silver.
And that's what we're going to attempt to do this weekend, my friends. I'm going to pull the trigger with a silver bullet. And I talked to my financially wiser older brother, about what the best place to go to, and he says he's always enjoyed the no trouble from online service called APMEX, American Precious Metals Exchange. I also take this opportunity to mention that there's a whole bunch of us currently in the chat room on ZeroPointRadio.com, included among Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Interestingly enough, as he noted earlier in the chat room, he and Freeman of FreemanTV.com were discussing silver. Meanwhile, the other teams and the other battling groups within this alternative media game, and again, just as we say that the mainstream media may lie to you, that doesn't mean that the alternative media is all full of truth. You may know, and longtime listeners will well know, and I think and hope that that's one of the reasons that people stick around and have enjoyed MediaMonarchy.com for as long as they have, is that we don't play the infighting game. Sure, there are a lot of folks out there in the alternative media who I don't think are trustworthy or do crappy work or who are sketchy, but I'm not going to spend a bunch of time attacking them. As I've said many, many times before, Alex Jones's documentary, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, was essentially the huge key that opened up all of this, now nearly 10 years ago, into all of this research. The tactics and the things used by the InfoWars gang I don't always approve of, but in some ways you can't argue with results. So, buy some silver. The one comment at the bottom of this posting, and again, this is Killing JP Morgan with Silver Bullets, and we're about to get into all the other unbelievable EconoCrash updates posted below, but our good friend Barb H. notes that December 11th may be Silver Bomb Day. If everybody pulled the trigger on their gun with silver bullets, could we destroy JP Morgan? Could that be possible? Could we take the same idea of opting out and doing something very simple, whether that's calling your senator or taking physical possession of precious metals? Now, gold and storing up gold and stockpiling your basement with God, gold, and guns probably isn't going to help you through, again, what Clyde Lewis has referred to as the apocalypse of the soul. And that's what this is about. That's what we already said. We need to incite a revelation. PortlandGoldBuyers.com, I believe, is another way, and they support Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. And again, we'll throw out, please support alternative media, whether that's Media Monarchy or Zero Point Radio or Ground Zero Media or Corbett Report or Tragedy and Hope or Gnostic Media or Deadline Live or Redacted News or any of those other sites out there that I do support. EconoCrash updates, Euro under siege after Portugal hits the panic button. That is from the Telegraph, but we'll break it down further from the economics, or rather the economic collapse blog, asking the question, could the financial crisis erupting in Ireland, Portugal, Greece, and Spain lead to the end of the euro and the breakup of the European Union? The Irish banking system is melting down in front of our eyes. Ireland, Portugal, Greece, and Spain all drowning in debt, becoming extremely expensive for all those nations to issue new debt, which of course is how our economies are run. They are debt-based. Private central banks print money and loan it to us at interest. That's the scheme. We could keep going into that article, but for time's sake, we should keep going because we still have massive news purge to take care of. Wall Street quietly seeks to undo new financial rules. That's from McClatchy. Wall Street Journal notes the U.S. sets 50 bank probes. FDIC steps up investigations at failed lenders, noting, of course, quote, these numbers will increase. We have not kept up this year with FDIC Friday and how many banks have closed. I think we kept up with it fairly well last year and would give you the updates week by week of how many banks were failing. And of course, it was hundreds by the end of the year, record-setting amount. And we've been on pace to have another record-setting year as we start to close out this year. And as we hurtle towards the amazing 200th episode of MediaMonarchy.com, I imagine we'll spend a little bit of time on FDIC Friday and the complete bankruptcy of our fractional reserve funny money banks. Government employees owe billions of dollars in delinquent taxes. That's from CNBC. So, of course, Why would you pay your taxes if government cronies can get away without paying their taxes? Not one red cent. Interesting story from allgov.com. More Americans quitting their jobs than being laid off. That's apparently what's coming out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Huh? That about sums up the reaction to the latest labor news out of Washington, where BLS has reported that more people are quitting their jobs than being laid off, which is fascinating. And that may go into something that, again, my girlfriend and I have talked about many times, the possibilities and the positive things that could come from this controlled demolition, this new financial world order, and that could be the end of the ridiculous shopping malls, perhaps the overtaking of golf courses by homeless people. And maybe people realizing that if the window is closing and if time is short and if things are going to radically change, why should I spend another minute at some stupid job you don't care about that doesn't do anything for you emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, anything? Penny-pinching consumers cutting cable and cell service. This coming from Yahoo News, their tech news. Generic brands, brown bag lunches, and fewer trips to the beauty salon are three of the top ways U.S. consumers are looking to save money, according to a recent survey. Look a little further down the list, though, and you'll find that more and more Americans are also cutting back on their cable TV and cell phone service. As our good friends at TragedyandHope.com would note, why would you continue to give your money month after month to newspapers and cable corporate news outlets to lie to you? Walmart's secret study shows that inflation is already here. More on that from Helium.com. EndOfTheAmericanDream.com notes that the Washington Post recently ran an article called Five Myths About the Federal Reserve, and it, of course, was written by a Rothschild banking family-connected economist. Our last two EconoCrash notes, again, these updates posted at the bottom of Killing J.P. Morgan with Silver Bullets. A couple of videos using, a growing popular video service that essentially animates text and audio that you give it, and it has little cartoon characters. So we have Quantitative Easing Explained, that would be QE2, and we also have The Money Scam Explained, basically breaking down the money scam so simple that even Grandma could understand. And there, my friends, all your latest EconoCrash updates, firing the silver bullet. Can we do some of these simple things that will make a massive change? Yes, but again, as we've noted time and time again, these changes come from within. Michael Jackson had it right. You got to start with the man in the mirror. Which, again, reminds me of just all the amazing notes, as we're going to get into here in just a little bit, related to the media, the memes, and the murder, and the mayhem, and the star whackers. I was watching just the other day the old video of Michael Jackson giving a speech about Tommy Mottola and Sony and the way the entertainment industrial complex is run, and you occasionally see folks like Michael Jackson or Tupac or John Lennon or other murdered individuals who will speak out against the entertainment industrial complex, but we don't let those guys hang around. As Bill Hicks notes, we have those people who come every now and then to us and say, hey, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all connected, we're all one consciousness, and we kill those people. Before we get into our massive 1118 news purge, you should know that I'm aware. We're going to get into all our history mystery with an amazing report from the old gray lady from the New York Times. It was on the front page last Friday. No, I'm sorry. Sunday. In the big Sunday New York Times paper, and thanks to my man Mac at work who told me about the article, that's a great thing, and I worry sometimes I don't want to be the guy at work. It's, oh, he's always talking about conspiracy stuff. I don't bring it up really at all. More often than not, it's people coming to me saying, man, hey, what's the deal with that mystery missile? Hey, man, what's up with the thing about the toner bomb? And that's fantastic. And one-on-one is really where you can make some action happen and where you can plant some seeds with folks. And that's why we use these tools, and that's why we use Facebook to put out tons of articles and use these things that otherwise we report against using. We're going to try and use those tools against itself while we can. Surprise, surprise, Nazis were given safe haven in U.S., new report says, and we have the link for you, and I actually put it into the feeds where, again, I will remind you, my friends, feeds.feedburner.com/mediamonarchy is your main feed source. I need to probably put that a little more prominently on the page. That'll get you everything from mediamonarchy.com, all the articles, all the audio, and all the video, as opposed to just subscribing to the radioforall.net, where you're just going to get the low-quality audio. We included this new 600-plus page report. It's a 55-meg PDF. It's the full, new, unredacted report. But let's take the text from the New York Times. A secret history of the United States government's Nazi hunting operation concludes that American intelligence officials created a safe haven in the United States for Nazis and their collaborators after World War II. It details decades of clashes, often hidden, with other nations over war criminals here and abroad. The 600-page report, which the Justice Department has tried to keep secret for 4 years, provides new evidence about more than two dozen of the most notorious Nazi cases of the last three decades. It describes the government's posthumous pursuit of Dr. Joseph Mengele, the so-called Angel of Death, part of whose scalp is allegedly kept in a Justice Department official's drawer, the vigilante killing of a former Waffen-SS soldier in New Jersey, and the government's mistaken identification of the Treblinka concentration camp guard known as Ivan the Terrible. The report catalogs both the successes and failures of the band of lawyers, historians, and investigators at the Justice Department's Office of Special Investigations, which was created in 1979 to deport Nazis. Perhaps the report's most damning disclosures come in assessing the Central Intelligence Agency's involvement with Nazi émigrés. Scholars in previous government reports had acknowledged the CIA's use of Nazis for post-war intelligence purposes. But this report goes further in documenting the level of American complicity and deception in such operations. New York Times laying it out quite simply for us. The National Security Archive at George Washington University, gwu.edu, we have the links for you. Justice Department censors Nazi hunting history. Archive FOIA request and lawsuit opens 45 redacted pages, and the breakdown here of the complete system, the OSI report, leaking the full 600-page report. The DOJ censored dozens of pages of a candid history of Nazi hunting and Nazi protecting by the U.S. government to such a self-defeating extent that former officials leaked the entire document to the New York Times this week instead of fulfilling the FOIA request and lawsuit filed by this National Security Archive and its counsel, David Sobel. That's something interesting that you don't see mentioned in that New York Times article. The fact that lies and obfuscation and evasion were keeping this report from becoming public, and finally people got frustrated and leaked it. And again, those are the ways that we can opt out, that we can not play along, that we can use the tools against itself. We could do entire episodes on the Nazis, on Operation Paperclip. And as we cite time and time again, these stories are all so interconnected, whether we're talking about the biolabs or terror events or cyberspace war and these psyop space events they're prepping us for. We can learn about so much of this from folks like Wernher von Braun warning us, telling us what was going to come. We have tons more links and documentation and stories to back this up from Bloomberg, from Global Research, and a couple of flashbacks to MediaMonarchy.com. One from January of 2009, Boys from Brazil, Mengele created Twin Town in Brazil. And from September 2008, Israeli Mossad let Nazi Mengele get away. But we'll get our other unrelated history mystery updates with alarming details. Fort Hood shooting case still mysterious. That's from CBS19.tv. The trial going on, defense doing nothing. And now that we're more than a year out, I can't even remember off the top of my head why the Fort Hood shooting event is suspicious in the first place. So many things swirling around, it's tough to all keep it on the tip of my tongue and on the tip of my fingers and off the top of my head. Drug expert claims David Kelly was murdered as he couldn't have taken all those overdose drugs. That coming from the Daily Mail, yet another report from another individual noting that David Kelly, of course, exposing the lies in the run-up to the fraudulent illegal war in Iraq, was such a lie. Of course, found dead in the woods, just as he had warned, I'll probably end up dead in the woods. And our last history mystery note, by way of click2houston.com, one of the sites I subscribe to, their sort of news of the weird feeds, that of course is 90% garbage, but you'll get little gems that I love to bring for you here. Outgoing Florida Governor Charlie Crist wants Jim Morrison pardoned. You know the incident. Sticking the hands down the pants. No, maybe it was just a little TSA love pat. We also don't have time to discuss, but maybe we will in the future as we are currently striving to put more media in the monarchy. The Doors and all of the rock and roll explosion, Laurel Canyon, Sinister Forces connections to some of the intelligence communities. Jim Morrison's dad, I believe, connected to the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And, of course, one of the main Doors producers, Rothschild. Sinister forces, indeed. So, here we are, finally, the last half hour of the show. We've got a massive news purge. You should know that I'm aware is what this is called. 1118 News Purge, you should know that I'm aware, and that line is taken from our opening song from Clinic at the top of the show. The way these news purges go is they go in alphabetical order from the little subfolders that I have, and I put stories in them and bookmark them throughout the week. And the big stories we post up and we do text and we do greater breakdowns. With the news purge, we just give you the massive list of headlines and, again, lay out the path, and hopefully you'll go do more research on your own on stories you find important and interesting and pertinent. And, as we say, come back to the cave and tell us about the shadows on the wall. So having said that, let's get into our 9/11 updates, where KSM may get no trial at all. Alleged 9/11 plotter may simply be left to military custody with no trial. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, the self-proclaimed mastermind of 9/11, will probably remain in military detention without trial for the foreseeable future, according to Obama-SIA officials. The administration concluded it can't put KSM on trial in federal court because of the opposition of lawmakers in Congress in New York. There's also little internal support for resurrecting a military prosecution at Gitmo. The latter would alienate liberal supporters. The administration asserts it can hold Mohammed and other al-Qaeda operatives under the laws of war, a principle that has been upheld by the courts when Gitmo detainees have challenged their detention. That's right, they can lock you up and hold you indefinitely without any trial. Now, they say KSM admitted to planning 9/11. He also admitted to planning attacks on buildings that didn't exist before he was arrested. So, if you torture someone enough, just as we had some military official note, you leave me alone with Dick Cheney and I'll have him confessing to the Sharon Tate murder. Torture brings BS confessions. And this is just another perfect example of some of those big moments in American history of selling our soul, such as bringing over the Nazis, such as not investigating the coup and the elimination of a democratically elected president on November 22, 1963, and teaching us that torture is good and that torture works. We'll get more on that in just a little bit. Kevin Ryan, ex-Underwriters Laboratory employee, when he, of course, blew the whistle that they were lying about certifying the steel in the trade towers, which they did, and it was, and it shouldn't have fallen at freeze-fall speed. He has a massive new article on foreignpolicyjournal.com, Evidence for Informed Trading on 9/11. You could also call that insider trading. And our last two 9/11 update notes, the first one is just an audio clip that you'll have to go get from the sniveling gawker wannabe type site Mediaite.com, where Ed Asner talks 9/11 truth on the Adam Carolla show. But our last 9/11 note, again, shows that we can have an effect. Geraldo Rivera and the success of building what?
Bob, these 1,300 engineers and architects who agree with you and some of the other relatives' families, I know you found your son just a couple of days after the disaster. He was outside. I don't want to get into the details of how you believe he died, but these architects and engineers, do they support your contention? Do you believe that it was an inside job, that 9/11 was an inside job?
I believe it was an inside job, okay?
Believe our government?
But the thing is, we don't have enough time to get into the reasons of that. We set up this Building What campaign. We saw the...
Building What?
Building What dot org.
Buildingwhat.org.
The reason we have that is because Judge Lehner, when we petitioned, we had a petition to have a new investigation in New York City about Building 7. And when the lawyers...
And you're asking the New York City Council. I don't
right,
want to
we,
also to
right.
reopen.
So, I know we don't have the time, but anyway, he said, building what? Because he had no one has any idea about building 7. So because I believe in... I've talked to so many firemen, so many EMS workers, policemen, who talk about the explosions. And I know you don't want to get into my son's... But I feel my son died from an explosion. I went to all the 9/11 commission hearings. I've been researching this for 9 years.
So what do you want? Let's get to the bottom line
I want truth. I've been lied to. I mean, it's beyond a reasonable doubt that the 9/11 Commission did not tell this story.
9/11 Commission barely mentioned Building 7, if at all.
Right.
Okay, what forum do you want the investigation in?
Well, the forum, what we wanted is in New York City right now, because New York City, we feel, has an obligation to investigate 9/11.
So before we're out of time completely, Bob, do you want specifically the New York City Council to open its own investigation of the Building 7 collapse?
Absolutely.
And that would satisfy you if they did that?
Well, I'm not done. I'm still a parent. I'm a parent who has an obligation to find out why my son was murdered. As far as this show and New York City, I want the investigation. That will not be sufficient
enough.
Not
heal your wound. I get it.
And I'm going beyond that.
But it's
the
beginning.
Of course it's the beginning. But that's why I support this Building What campaign.
Bob McElveen, we thank you. Tony Zimbardi, thank you very much. It is an intriguing topic. I certainly am much more open-minded about it than I was. And it is because of the involvement of the 9/11 families and all these engineers and architects. Clearly, they know more than I do. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So there you have Geraldo saying it. He didn't believe it at first, but now when he talks to victims' family members and architects and engineers, he realizes they know more than he does, and of course it helps to put the lie to the story that, oh, you're just hurting the families, and that has gone away in these years since 9/11, as 9/11 Truth has only grown and exploded throughout the years. 9/11 Truth is, of course, ultimately anti-war. If you want to end the wars, you need to be pro 9/11 Truth. That's just a fact, unfortunately. And it's also interesting to note here, and I'll remind you again, that Geraldo Rivera was the first guy to show the Zapruder film to the American public on his show Good Night America in 1975 with Dick Gregory and Robert Groden as guests, showing the Zapruder film for the first time, destroying the public's confidence in the Warren Commission, setting the stage for the House Select Committee on Assassinations, the Church Committee, and all the things, small as it may be, but it's damn bit enough to know about what the intelligence networks have been doing. Thanks a lot for the National Security Act, which brought us the CIA and the NSA, and all those things are connected. So those were our 9/11 updates, and we're going to keep hurtling down the list. Get our quick drug war updates. This one does have a video, but we'll just make a quick reference from azcentral.com. Arizona is now the 15th state to approve medical marijuana. On the other side of the world, New Zealand protesters bomb police station with cart full of burning cannabis. I think it was essentially a big wheelbarrow shopping cart filled with pot lit on fire, burning, put into the police station to basically get them all baked. On to geopolitics. And we add the subtitle, Building a North American Community. That's, of course, what the Council on Foreign Relations would like to call the North American Union. However, from DeadlineLive.info, U.S. Super Spy Center uncovered in Mexico. Mexican magazine Proceso reveals the location of a U.S. military intelligence megaplex in Mexico City. Includes offices for the CIA, FBI, DEA, Defense Intelligence, ATF, Treasury, and others. U.S. intelligence operatives will no longer have to disguise themselves as diplomats. Mexico will now have a military liaison for NORTHCOM. The U.S. is now in charge of all tactical efforts against the drug war, counterinsurgency, and counterterrorism in Mexico. Obama and Hillary are credited for the creation of the Office of Bilateral Intelligence in Mexico, OBI. Again, huge thanks to Jack Blood of DeadlineLive.info for bringing the full English text of this article. And again, it sources back to Proceso magazine out of Mexico. So now that we see the U.S. explicitly being involved in counter-terror drug trafficking operations, we can only expect to see more drug trafficking. Oh my God, North Korea was going to attack the G20 with bioterror balloons. That's from the Daily Mail, and we add an exclamation point for some of the more ridiculous paranoia stories on this news purge. Germany mobilizes forces to respond to terrorism. That's from the New York Times. Again, all crime is terror. The only job you'll have in this crumbling new financial world order is a snitch for the man. EurasiaReview.com notes that after a recent FBI visit, APAC staffer immediately called the Israeli embassy. His real bosses. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee spying on American officials for many a decade. But, of course, you know, you'd expect that coming from me, being the, you know, racist anti-Semite that I am. That's the game they've set up. You can't criticize the corrupt practices of the apartheid regime of Israel. Of course, you know, started on a September 11th. One of the many September 11ths. Not always a plan for the 9/11 events, but just important numerology with our bloodlines. Our last geopolitics note comes from a listener that we provide for you, thelogicofmyth.com, getting into their plan of action against the Lisbon Treaty. Again, those treaties they keep trying to shove down the plebs' throats in an effort to assimilate into the Borg. Never thought there'd be a European Union. Well, there's been one for 50 years. Never thought there'd be a North American Union. Well, they're building it as we speak. Security and Prosperity Partnership. NAFTA Superhighway. Holy hexes. Catholic bishops. More exorcists needed! Exclamation point. That's from the Washington Times. The Belief blog on CNN. Also getting into this story, Catholic clergy confer on exorcism rite. Well, Catholic Church says it's okay to believe in aliens. They say they'd baptize aliens. So why not have more exorcisms? Maybe they realize their control is crumbling and no one buys their garbage anymore. So maybe we need to have some PSYOP exorcist events. Obama signs one of his many executive orders clarifying the church-state relationship. That's again from the Belief blog on CNN. Clarifying the church-state relationship that, of course, as a church, which your only allegiance should be to your God, you want to become a nonprofit organization so you can do your little backdoor political wheeling and dealing. Both sides do it. Of course, the left will want to point at the churches and say, oh, they're driving... And we'll get into more Obama executive orders in just a few minutes. HR 6216. That would be the latest attack on free speech from the Anti-Defamation League. Never met a free speech, hate speech they didn't want to silence. So this is basically the Don't Criticize Israel bill, but it's being called an addendum to the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And again, if you question the Zionist regime, you're a racist. The media meme stories are outrageous. And as I've said, we're going to get more and more into this as time goes. And hopefully as we blast into 2011, we're going to keep morphing and get more into the media, into the memes, into the semiotics, into the signs and symbols and all of those things playing around that we soak in and we love it. And I'll admit, I'm a huge media head. I have been all my life. It's because my parents kept me away from it as a young age. Couldn't watch movies or buy music. So, of course, once that wall fell down, I was headfirst diving in. But I digress. Neuromarketing, ads that whisper to the brain. Again, from the New York Times, and this sure sounds like audio spotlights, those things that beam sound into your brain, and this, of course, can all tie into some massive PSYOP, War of the Worlds-style event, tricking you into thinking, they're here. So there's an interesting Bristol Palin PSYOP going, and we can get it from Big Hollywood to get the fake conservative take on how angry the fake progressives are about Bristol Palin winning on Dancing with the Stars, and we're not going to spend a bunch of time on it. However, we also note from Click to Houston, man shoots TV over Bristol Palin and Dancing with the Stars, saying he's sick of politics. Playing into the game. We have a quick link to truthbrigade.org, and I haven't had time to check out this interview, but huge hat tip to my friend Siva for sending this over. Again, you can connect up on facebook.com/mediamonarchy. Hollywood and MK Ultra with Esoteric Kitten. This is the kind of information that we've discussed that folks like Vigilant Citizen go into. We'll probably in the future talk about the Hollywood MK Ultra series on YouTube by Esoteric Kitten. More on that in the future. Arizona Sheriff Arpaio forms armed immigration posse with washed-up has-been action Hollywood stars like Steven Seagal and some other yahoos. More on that from the Washington Times. Call of Duty Black Ops, that would be the video game everybody loves last week. Of course, shows good guys using torture, because that's what they do. Defense contractor makes Iron Man suit. And I coined it a forbidden apple, iTunes finally selling Beatles music, like it finally justifies everything. And of course, now the two apples have merged. We'd also like you to meet George Soros again. And we give you the flashback link to the episode from January of this year from CorbettReport.com. But bringing it to the present from AmericanThinker.com is, unfortunately, Glenn Beck is right about George Soros. He was a Nazi collaborator. He is a convicted financial criminal. He is profiting from the naked body scanners. And as we noted last week, sometimes, you know, broken clocks right twice a day. Glenn Beck and his fake populism overtaking the Tea Party, which was originally a libertarian, anti-war, pro-personal liberty, anti-Federal Reserve movement that's now been completely hijacked. Running out of time, and I still have other clips and things to play for you, but we're going to have to probably dump them and skip them, but they're all there for you. Again, it's all laid out on the website. Jay Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller IV, the senator from West Virginia, he'd like to take Fox and MSNBC off the air. He's so sick of the left and right, which is fascinating. More on that from ofgoatsandmen.com, and that reminds us of several months ago, Rockefeller saying maybe it would have been better if the internet was never invented. Copycat effect getting into another Hollywood death that apparently was preceded by death threats to half a dozen casting directors in Hollywood. And then what happened? Another Hollywood death, Ronnie Chasen.
The baffling shooting of a prominent Hollywood publicist has Beverly Hills police turning to security camera video in search of clues. Ronnie Chasen was driving through this quiet residential neighborhood in Beverly Hills after leaving a movie premiere when she was shot 5 times in the chest.
This is jaw-droppingly shocking. I mean, I couldn't believe it when somebody called me, my office called, and I just, it was unimaginable. I thought it must have been a mistake.
Levine says that as a fellow publicist, and a very good one, it was Chasen's business to know people. Now all those Hollywood people who knew her are in mourning.
It was movies she loved, and very passionate, very, bulldogish, tenacious, spirited.
But no one can believe that Chasen, a respected professional who ran her own agency and lived in an upscale high-rise condo, would be involved in something shady that could take her life. The neighborhood of multi-million dollar homes where the shooting took place is also in shock.
It's elegant. It is one of the most affluent, wealthiest communities in the world.
Because nothing ever happens in Beverly Hills. That's what we say, and that's why we live here, because it's like 1,000% safe.
Gina Hope says she often goes walking after dark with friends, but not anymore.
And these people must be freaked out. I mean, I know celebrities probably live in this street.
She's convinced that the shooting was personal.
They say it might be a carjacking, but no one took the car, and she was shot multiple times, which seems like it was someone that really wanted her dead.
But friends and colleagues say Chasen didn't have any enemies, only a loyal circle of clients that she considered family.
No one knows anything now, so the mystery is extraordinary and excruciating.
So another mysterious Hollywood death. Have the star whackers struck again, as Randy Quaid would call it? We're going to have to get more into that in the future. That was the clip from the Associated Press, Slaying of Publicist Baffles Police in Hollywood, which takes us to our murder and mayhem updates quite easily and disgustingly. This was quite the soap opera story that played out over the last couple of days. And again, all these stories, regardless of how important or unimportant they may be, are played out as a TV show, where after a couple of days you get bored and you go, oh, I'm sick of this war. Oh, I'm sick of this election. Ohio police find bodies of trio stuffed in hollowed-out tree. More on that from ABC News. As we've noted for the last couple of years on this show, is there some type of mass murder contagion as people start to lose it? The jury in the Chandra Levy murder trial resume deliberations. That's from the Vancouver Sun. And three arrested over Indonesian ringtone mayhem, apparently using ringtones to insult other neighboring gangs. On to the Obama-Saya updates. Olbermann urges Obama to rule like a dictator and to just issue executive orders. That's what Bill Clinton did. That's what George Bush did. That's what we should do to stop those crazy GOPers, even though it takes two wings to fly this phony bird. So, of course, you can campaign about ending the war and ending the Patriot Act, and you won't use executive order, and everybody will have time to review things, all a bunch of garbage and lies to get you to play along. John Podesta notes that Obama can use quote-unquote armed forces to push his progressive agenda. That's from TheBlaze.com. Hispanic lawmakers seek DREAM Act vote. That would be for amnesty. Rangel found guilty of ethics violations. Big deal. Again, we're meant to pay attention to all these phony, corrupt Congress critters. Meanwhile, most folks, according to polls, would rather just pick people randomly from the phone book, but here we are. Our last Obama-Saya note from allgov.com. He has not granted a single pardon yet, nearing a modern record. But we'll get into our War Horrors updates, and we'll take a quote from Lord of War, the Nicholas Coppola Cage film. You can call me evil, but unfortunately for you, I'm a necessary evil. Merchant of Death, Victor Boot, extradited to the U.S. More on that from military.com and Kenny Sideshow. Obama envoy secretly promised to keep troops in Iraq after 2011, Iraqi intel official says. That's an exclusive from Raw Story. Furthermore, Council on Foreign Relations confirms U.S. longer stay in Afghan Iraq. Danger Room even noting U.S. to leave Afghanistan in 2011? No. 2014? No. Never? Yeah. Deutsche Press Agency reporting U.S. Supreme Court keeps military gay ban in place for now. And again, that's the fascinating switch. You used to have well-meaning progressives arguing for the end of these illegal wars of aggression. Now they're just arguing for the inclusion of more people into the meat grinder. New reports from inspector generals noting the Pentagon would have to take a $1 billion hit to try and balance any kind of budget, which, of course, is, again, all smoke and mirrors, because we're not going to balance the budget as long as private central banks print our money and loan it to us at interest. And if you're really anti-war and you're really pro-environment, you would know that the war machine is the most disgusting, polluting thing in the world. But no, you want to argue for more people to be allowed in the military. Last surviving U.S. and U.K. World War I vets. One is a pacifist and one is an activist. More on that from allgov.com. And how about this? Target, a female shepherd mix dog, survived suicide bombings in Afghanistan, but couldn't avoid death at an animal shelter in Arizona where she was, whoops, mistakenly euthanized. Missing military jet believed to be crashed. That's from late Wednesday night from the Pentagon and the CNN newsroom, which, again, as we've noted, military have placed PSYOP troops in media outlets across the country. Our last war horrors notes could go under many other subheadings, but we've got it from ABC News, Click to Houston, and the Daily Mail. Prince William surprises troops in Afghanistan. Again, we'll reference my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org and his take that Prince William could be the Antichrist. Or a Antichrist, or fill that role of what you believe the Antichrist should be because your storybook told you. But of course, his surprise trip to Afghanistan swirled around the same time he and his girlfriend are going to get married, Kate Middleton. So we hit it from Click to Houston. You know, they're news of the weird. They just say, you know, haha, isn't it really interesting that Prince William's fiance has famous relatives, such as, good Lord, Sir Thomas Fairfax, even George Washington. But we also note from the Daily Mail how Prince William and Kate Middleton are related. Kissing cousins. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that inbred elites rule over us to this day? They tell us these things don't matter. Live for today, but meanwhile, the elites have their generations-long plans. And we can talk about how the Huxleys and the Wedgwoods and others attempted their eugenics experiment of inbreeding. Oh, well, we're all so genius and well-bred. If we only inbreed with each other, well, gosh, we'll have a super elite bloodline. But of course, it ended in complete, disgusting, ill-birth failure. So, surprise, surprise, Prince William, Antichrist, and his fiancée, Kate Middleton, are not only related to each other, but of course related to all the other bloodlines. Our last couple of notes on West Virginia worry. This one, I believe, got sent to me from a listener, and we take it from Public Policy Polling. Sarah Palin is polling very well in West Virginia, which we can only take as what we called it, West Virginia worry. Again, longtime listeners know we don't buy into the fake left-right paradigm. Every 4 or 8 years, you vote the bums out and the other bums come in. One side goes to sleep, the other side gets energized. Now the side that was completely complicit and tacitly went along with all the ridiculous garbage from the previous puppet administration, oh, now they're all suddenly really agitated that all this started January 20th with Obama. And now you have essentially a well-meaning left back to sleep because their team's in. Yay, the guy with the D after his name. And you have, as we said, Olbermann saying Obama should just rule like a dictator with executive orders. You had Bill Maher saying the same thing on his show. This is where fascism comes from. Fascism in Italy started as an intellectual elite movement. Jennifer Garner is naming 6 new Save the Children sites in West Virginia. Actress Jennifer Garner, of course, born in West Virginia. And the last note, we do have a clip, but
yet again, we've run out of time, so we had to skip a couple clips. We skipped the clip of Olberdush saying that Obama should rule like a dictator. We skipped the clip of John D. Rockefeller IV of West Virginia saying he wishes MSNBC and Fox were taken off the air, just as he noted he wishes the internet were never invented. We'll have to skip this clip, but you can get it from WVNSTV.com. Drugs in Southern West Virginia. You may know, my friends, that that's exactly where I'm from. I've been in Portland, Oregon for just over 5 years now, but I was born and raised in Southern West Virginia, and this is where this report centers on. Unfortunately, they're not talking about marijuana, even though that's not a drug. It's a plant that your creator God left here for you to heal yourself and to make paper and food and textiles and power things. But no, it's illegal. It's a drug. They're unfortunately all hooked on the pharma garbage, the Oxycontin and the meth and all of that crap. Man-made garbage. Keeping them down, essentially. So those are the bits of West Virginia worry. That is the massive 1118 news purge you should know that I'm aware. And that, my friends, is this massive 195th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. Let's take a quick glance at our Twitter feed, twitter.com/MediaMonarchy. As I've noted recently, I got a little Wi-Fi pod, and I've been using it to blast out tons more tweets, getting out tons more news. It makes great connections. Some of the things we've hit on there that, again, don't get put on the website necessarily, but we've got stuff on Senate Bill 510, the so-called Food Safety Modernization Act, which, again, will urge you to call your senator to vote no on the so-called Food Safety Act. All they want to do is outlaw what you can do and giving more monopoly to the eugenics operations and multinationals like Monsanto. More on the EU panic button. There was a recent report that says bicycling in Portland is good for you, except when you crash. And we've also got more on killing J.P. Morgan with a silver bullet, more on opt-out day coming very soon, and we'll also mention quickly the couple of creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We had the National Cancer Institute out of Frederick, Maryland, Google TSA scanner images. And I'll note, our traffic this past week has been up considerably, and a huge thanks to all those folks out there helping spread the word about MediaMonarchy.com. It was mostly thanks in no small part to our coverage of the missile mystery, as well as the TSA rage growing as opt-out day called for November 24th. So I find it quite heartening that the National Cancer Institute out of Frederick, Maryland is reading about TSA scanner images and how they will destroy your DNA and blast you with tons of radiation. We should also note that Frederick is the home of Fort Detrick, where anthrax and the dengue fever, which has now been genetically engineered and put into flying syringes thanks to eugenicists like Bill Gates, as we've just covered in this episode. Our other visitor was the Golden Pahrump Nugget out of Pahrump, Nevada, which is fascinating only in a synchronicity kind of way, because I've recently been watching an Aaron Sorkin show called Studio 60, where they spend a two-part episode in a place I had never heard of before called Pahrump, Nevada, and then it comes right back. That's why we pay attention to the media and the memes, my friends. Huge thanks to all the folks out there, again, who help spread the word. Huge thanks even more so to the folks who help donate. Your support helps keep alternative media going, and we will keep doing it, my friends. Next Friday, Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, we'll have massive amounts to report on opt-out day, no doubt. And I believe we will even have a special in-studio guest here for episode 196. This has been episode 195, November 19th, 2010, the year we make contact. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.